Blog Talk Radio.
I love you. I love you. I love you, Lord, today. Because you cared for me in such a special way. And yes, I'll praise you. I'll lift you up. And I magnify your name. That's why my heart is filled with praise. I love you. I love you. I love you, Lord, today. Because you cared for me in such a special way. Yes, I'll praise you, I'll lift you up, I'll magnify your name. That's why my heart is filled with praise. Hey, good morning, good morning. This is Pastor Steve Dinwiddie of New Seasons Ministry. We love to meet with you and your acquaintance. We thank God for another day that he has made. We shall rejoice and be glad. And I'm thankful on today because God is so good to us. He's the author and the finisher of our faith, and he's the great I am. Amen. We're talking today about a subject that he knows. He knows. Amen. He knows. God knows our down setting and our uprising. Amen. He knows who we are, and he wants to bless us and meet us where we are. He is our creator. He's the one that made us. We didn't make ourselves. So we're here to give him glory and praise and to magnify him and to lift him up. Amen. I'm excited about today because the topic of subject that we have, amen, is something that is very fruitful to our lives, understanding and knowing who God is and that he knows our every need. It gives us comfort and confidence to recognize that we don't have to depend on ourselves or lean to our own understanding, but we can allow him to direct us in the way that we should go. Let's go to the throne of grace before we get started on today. Father, we love you, we praise, and we magnify you. As always, we thank you, God, for the opportunity to come boldly before your throne. God, if there's anything that's not like you, that is contrary to your will, displeasing, take it out of us right now and fill us with your power. Fill us with your glory, your might, and your strength, God, that we can be who you called us to be and these last and evil days. God, take this word, hide it deep in our hearts, that we might not sin against thee. Oh, God, that we'll be a blessing to your people and those that don't know you from the part of their sin. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. I want to go to Matthew's, the sixth chapter, as we talk about. Amen. God knows. He knows everything that we are in need of. Amen. He knows who we are. He called us by name. The Bible says that he knows every single strand of hair that is on our head. Amen. So I thank God that he is so intimately connected to us. The Bible says, what is man? That God is so mindful of him. Why is he looking after us? He's a great big God. He's the God of the universe. He's the God of the cosmos and the stars, amen, the solar system. What is man, amen, that you're so mindful of us, that you see about us, that you are concerned about how we feel and what we are doing, amen, and do we love you, amen? That takes, I'll tell you what, that takes a God that we probably could not fathom with our intellect. We don't even know why he loves us. We just know that he does. We really don't know why. There's nothing that he can benefit from our love other than relationship because we have nothing to offer him. But we bless God because he believes in us and he trusts us with his word. Amen. So we want to get into his word. In Matthew, I'm going to start at the 24th verse of Matthew, the sixth chapter, because I want to look at something here. Amen. We are in a society, amen, where people are looking at God or religion as being obsolete. Some people have called it to be antiquated. We needed it back then. We don't need it now. They felt like it was a human validation or a void that was in our lives, so therefore we needed to create some type of God in order to satisfy that curiosity. We know the devil is a liar. Amen. He wants us to believe that there's no God so that we won't have the victory. But people do nowadays say, well, we can get along without religion. So I want to start here back at this verse. Let's look at the verse in the 24th verse of Matthew, the sixth chapter. It says, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. You cannot serve God and the world. So as Jesus begins to establish who God is, he first makes the point to make people recognize and see that you're going to have to make a choice. You're going to have to stand on the word of God or depend on your own intellect. But no man can serve two masters. So if you really trust in God to be the supplier of your needs, you're going to have to trust him wholeheartedly. You're going to have to be engaged to the plan that he has for your life. You cannot serve God and man. You cannot work it out yourself and do it the way the world does it and then expect for God to supply your needs. So that has to be first and foremost. We recognize that there's a line drawn in the sand. Either you serve God or you serve the ways and the system of this world. Now, God wants us to use the things in the world, and he does give technology and the things that can enhance the gospel and the word of God, that we can go out and do things in this world and profit from them. But we're not trusting in these things. These things are not our source. They're resources, things that we use. But God is still our source, and that's what he wants us to understand. So going further in the 25th verse, it said, therefore, because of that, because you have to make a choice, because if you're going to believe God, you got to believe God with your whole heart. Therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life. Take no thought for your life. Oh, think about it. Let me do that, God said. Let me lead and guide you. Take no thought for your life. Now, that doesn't mean that you're not concerned. That doesn't mean that you don't play a part in what you are doing in life. What he is saying is, if you trust me, you're going to get where you want to go and where I have for you to go. You're going to get there if you trust my word. So don't take any thought for it as you're designing your own path, if you're creating your own purpose. I have a purpose for you. Just trust me. Amen. Kind of like when we have people that, amen, that are playing these team building games where a person has to fall back into the arms of their coworkers. You just got to trust that they're able to carry you, that they're going to bind together. Even if you are heavy or large, they'll bind together to keep you from falling. You just got to trust it. Amen. You just got to trust it. You can't have a safety net. You just got to trust that I will catch you and will not let you fall. He says, so therefore, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body or your health, what you shall put on. It is not no more life than meat, and the body than raiment. Behold, the fowls of the air, but they sow not, neither do they reap, nor do they gather to barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? In other words, what he's saying is, God is not minimizing the fact that you have needs. See, one thing that people think that, oh, I just need God alone, I don't need nothing else, and I don't need clothes. And no, that's not what God is saying. God is saying, listen, I'm very aware of your needs. I'm very aware of your needs. I'm conscious of your needs. I supply all of your needs. But you have to recognize that for me, that's minimum. That's what God is telling us. For me, that's minimum. That's the least that I do. I do that because you're my child. I do that just because you wake up in the morning. I do that to the fowls and the birds of the air and the fish in the sea and the animals on the land. Don't you see that I've clothed them, that I've given them food and raiment, that I've given them shelter? Well, that's the least I do for them, and certainly I'll do that for you. He says, but which of you, when you think about what circumstance that you're in, when you think about who you are, can add one cubit to your stature? Really, by yourself, are you able to make yourself anything great? Are you able to make yourself successful by yourself? Has it worked to this point? See, many times we look at things and we try to put God in the middle by saying, well, if God had wanted this for me, he would open up this door or close. But really, a lot of times we try to do it ourselves, and that's the reason that the door closed. That's the reason that we've gotten rejected. That's the reason why we did not have favor with that particular boss or the interview or whatever, because we tried to go in there in our own spirit, in our own might, not in God's spirit. And so many times, if we're truthful with ourselves, we've tried to add cubits to ourselves, and we're not able to do that. We can't do it. And it also says that if you take thought for raiment, look at that. Consider the lilies in the field, how they grow. They don't toil, neither do they spin. And yet, I have them clothed greater than Solomon. the colors that are in the rainbows, amen. You can see them in every part of creation, how God has arrayed them with this great significance of the spectrums of the colors, and how beautiful and majestic that it looks. You think God has taste. God has style. Well, you know, I don't want my kids looking in any kind of way. Listen, God doesn't have a desire that your kids go around looking broke and poor, not having some of the best things that life has to offer. God made this earth. The Bible says the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof, everything that's in the earth and everything that's under the earth. God is not trying to hold any good thing from you, but he wants you to trust him wholeheartedly. And as we begin to understand that more, we'll begin to benefit with the heavenly inheritance that we have here on earth. Therefore, take no thought saying, what will we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall you be clothed? After all these things do the Gentiles seek. Now, some people stop right there and say, see, they're seeking clothes and they're seeking houses and land, but we're supposed to seek God. But that ain't all it says. Look what it says here. It says, no, it's not that Jesus seek those things and the Gentiles seek them. In the 32nd verse, it says, for your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of these things. So you don't have to seek them. See, the world has to seek them. The world has to go out and pursue those things. But the Bible says right here, God knows that we have need of them, so he supplies our needs. We don't even have to seek those things. If we seek him, he's already supplying our needs. But he wants us to have things in perspective. He wants us to give things priority. He wants us to put him in such an order that we recognize that he's first. And that's why the 33rd verse is the most important of this particular part of this chapter. It says, but seek ye first. This is the first thing you do. You seek God, the kingdom of God, his righteousness, and then he'll add all those things that you need. And for this case, for this reason, you don't have to take thought about tomorrow. There's enough evil in tomorrow for itself, but sufficient is the evil of today. In other words, God is saying, I'm going to give you daily bread, and you're going to continue to eat of this bread, and tomorrow there'll be another meal for you that I'm going to continue to provide for you. God wants to bless you spiritually. He wants to bless you mentally. He wants to bless you sexually. God has made provision for you to be satisfied even sexually. The Bible says it is better to marry than to burn. To burn with what? With passion and lust and the desires that are ungodly. He gives us provision through marriage. Amen. Mentally, he wants to bless us. Praise the Lord. On Christ, you'll be kept in perfect peace. Physically, he wants to bless you. He wants you to prosper and be in good health, even as your soul prosper. God wants you to be blessed. He has all you need. All you got to do is trust him. Amen. This is Pastor Steve Zinn with the New Season Ministries. Love you and appreciate you, and have a wonderfully blessed day.